Hey, it's Antoinette, and welcome to another episode of the Hormone Heartbeat podcast. I want to start by thanking all of you amazing listeners for your love and feedback on the episode so far. It means so much to me, and I'm truly grateful for all your support.
Welcome to the Hormone Heartbeat podcast, a podcast about female empowerment through menstrual cycle health, the true heartbeat of your hormone status. With each episode, we'll explore the foundations of hormone health with science, soulful and heartfelt conversations, a dash of sass and feminine pizzazz. Our dream is to arm you with exactly what you need to be an unstoppable female force, ready to achieve all that your heart desires and embrace your inner goddess. And here's your host, naturopathic doctor, birth doula, fertility awareness educator, hormone enthusiast, and lover of pretty things, Antoinette Falco.
I will be focusing the next series of episodes on fertility, and my hope is that through each expert interview and a couple episodes that I'll record standalone, we'll shed some light on a topic that really isn't talked about enough. So don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Starting the series off today is my guest, Genevieve Siegel, who is a holistic fertility expert. And in today's episode, we are talking about what holistic healing really is about, and we're talking about our Vigo therapy for Mayan abdominal massage and how it is essential as part of your self-love and self-care practice for your fertility journey. So stay tuned, and I can't wait to share our interview with you. Welcome, Genevieve. It's so great to have you on the show today.
I am so excited to be on your show, Antoinette.
All right. So let's just jump right in. And my first question is, I would like to know more about you and what led you to doing the work that you do.
Well, I actually, back in 1995, that's when my holistic healing started. I was actually a CFO of a $50 million steel company. And even though I was very successful on the outside, I was very, very unhealthy on the inside. And I almost died. And then after I didn't listen, I went back to work and I ended up being diagnosed with endometriosis, which I don't know if you know what endometriosis is when the uterine lining goes outside of the uterus and adheres and attaches and bleeds and it's very, very painful. I ended up doing Western medicine and taking Depo-Lupron at the age of 30, and it basically put me through a mini menopause. At the age of 30. Yeah, it was pretty horrific. I had hot flashes and all the stuff, not, you know, night sweats and whatnot. And then they tried surgery. I mean, they tried everything and nothing really worked. And then my doctor, she was a beautiful soul. She's like, why don't you try to get pregnant? I'm like, well, you know, I'm successful. I'm married, you know, I have a great house and I really want to get pregnant. So we tried. And then they told me that I was anovulatory infertile. I wasn't ovulating. And funny thing is now being infertility, when I was infertility, I'm like, well, they put me through a mini menopause. So no wonder why I'm not ovulating. But I didn't know any better back then. I didn't have a clue. I was listening to my doctor. So they ended up putting me on Clomid. And I had the worst reaction to that as well. I started having severe anxiety. And then I had my first panic attack, which I thought I was dying from an asthma attack, which I had almost died from the year before. But it turned out it was a panic attack. And then I ended up forgetting all the endometriosis and whatnot. I was dealing with the panic attacks on and off for 6 years, taking Western medicine and trying all kinds of things, cognitive therapy. And it was the most horrific experience in my life. I mean, I couldn't leave the house. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I couldn't do anything. Every paranoia came to life. It was a horrible experience. So my husband and I finally moved from Arizona to San Diego because I needed to get back into California where I can be near the water and the, you know, better climate. And I ended up going to holistic healing school. And there, I just, there to calm my nerves. And I was like, wow, went through huge, huge transformations. And let go of all my anxiety and healed my nerves. And I actually, in my healing, I ended up finding my new career and left my husband, left my job, started completely new, all new. And I was like, Oh, wow. Yeah. And then I discovered the Arvigo techniques of Maya abdominal therapy because a local practitioner asked for a Mayan massage, and I didn't know what that was. So I looked it up and I'm like, oh, this could totally help me, you know, and with my painful menses and the endometriosis. And so I went to take the self-care class. And what I love about Rosita Arvigo, which I'll explain a little bit more later, it's all about self-care first before you go on to professional. So take care of yourself first. And I learned so much about my body and about my womb from just my self-care alone. And then went through huge transformations there, let go of a lot more negative emotions from my mind, my body, my spirit, my emotions. And I actually ended up getting pregnant while I was on my course because I was so open and let go of so much. And yeah, I met a beautiful spiritual man and ended up connecting with him and let go and was open and receptive to. I ended up miscarrying, but the mere fact that I could even get pregnant was just a miracle. And so when I got back to California, the practitioner who put the wand out for the Mayan massage, where I looked, I didn't even know what it was. You remember I said that somebody had announced something about Mayan massage, and I was like, what is that? And so I looked it up. It was actually a wand ad by this particular practitioner. And so he contacted me after I got back, and he's like, you know, what is your success rate? How have you done with fertility? And I'm like, wow, you're the guy who wrote the wand ad, and you're the reason why I even started going through this program for myself. And so cool. We connected, and we ended up working together for like 5 years in a top-notch, you know, holistic fertility clinic here in town. So that's how I got into this whole thing, because of my own health and well-being and fertility issues. So that's my history of being here right now and becoming a holistic fertility empowerment expert.
Wow. So thanks for sharing that. I think there's so much that you share that connects with so many women, particularly this journey of just being told to do this one thing or take this one medication that it's going to make everything better. And then you end up with side effects that just lead you down this cascade of more symptoms that get you worrying, get you all caught up in your emotions. Emotions are huge. It seems to be the common thread of a lot of the interviews I'm doing on this podcast. People are telling me, it's about your emotions. It's about your mental health. And you're another example of someone who, I mean, I love that. You let go, you opened yourself up to receive, and your body got pregnant. Such powerful messages in the fertility world. So powerful.
Oh my gosh. Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. It's definitely holistic. You know, it's like, that's why I do holistic healing and holistic fertility, because it's not just about the physical, it's about the mind, the body, the spirit, the emotions, you know, it's the whole.
Absolutely.
It's what makes us a human being, is all of those things. So we get to look at all of that.
Let's define holistic, because I know we hear holistic everywhere. I know what it means, but I still occasionally run into the person who doesn't know what that word means. So what does it mean to be a holistic practitioner?
I'm glad that you asked this, because people have different definitions, because I used to work at a acupuncture clinic. They're like, oh yeah, we do holistic healing. And they're like, we do the whole body. I'm like, no, 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 no. That may be your definition, but my definition, like I said, is like how we think, what's going on in our head can affect our health and well-being and our fertility. What is our emotions? Because as my teacher, Rosita, I learned through her program, Dr. William Reich was a psychiatrist who was the first mind-body practitioner. He believed that your issues are in your tissues, stored emotions in our body, and especially in our abdominal and our reproductive organs. We can hold a lot of emotions there. Mind, body, spirit, and your spirit, we have a soul, and also energetically, we have energetic connections. Not a lot of people know about the chakras, but I won't go deep into that, but we have energy channels within our body. And so I synonymously think of spirit as energy, So we're we're an energetic body, and we can have energetic blocks in our body, especially in the lower pelvis and lower back, because that's all about, that area is about connection and sensuality and sexuality and feminine and fluidity and grace. And so many people, women, especially in these days, are in their masculine, you know, we're like, do, 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 go, 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 rather than being open and receptive as a feminine energy.
Beautiful.
So very much mind, body, spirit, and emotions. And I attend to them all with my holistic fertility program and my holistic fertility treatments.
Yeah. Well, thank you for defining that, because you are absolutely right when you said that everyone has a different definition of it. In the Western medicine, holistic tends to be, you know, the different organs or the different, even the different people that work still within Western medicine, which all is the physical representation of whatever pathology they're working towards.
Yeah.
So more than just the physical, the emotional bodies, the spiritual bodies, the energetic bodies. But tell me about RVGO therapy, because I am so interested in this type of therapy and what it is, how it works. I have definitely come across the definition where it's a type of abdominal massage. But I want to hear from you. You are the expert. What it is, how it works, and go.
All right. So the full terminology is the RVGO techniques of Maya Abdominal Therapy, or RVGO therapy. And it is a non-invasive external massage that repositions the organs. And what we mean by that is the abdominal and reproductive organs, there might be a lot of congestions restricting arterial flow, venous flow, lymph flow, your nervous system, and chulel, which is the Mayan word for chi. So we're releasing all this energy, and we're affecting these five systems of flow, which is, again, arterial, venous, nervous system, lymph, and chi. And so when we release all of that, we're getting more flow and more energy into that area. And we're also repositioning the organs, namely the uterus. And it's based on an ancient Mayan uterine massage that we don't go internally. Like I said, it's external non-invasive massage from the pubic bone up. And Rosita RVGO learned from a Mayan shaman down in Belize by the name of Don Eligio Ponte. And she, it was kind of funny because, not funny, but she was so persistent and really wanted to learn from him. But he's like, oh, no, I'm not going to teach you. You know, he said, you're going to, you know, eventually leave and you're going to forget about my people. And, you know, you're a gringa, you know, I'm not going to teach you. So she, for a year, helped him chop, you know, all the plants and harvest the plants for the herbs for his practice for a whole year. And almost every day she asked him, can I learn from you? And he's like, nope. Every single day she persisted and asked him. And finally, he got a message from the heavens above, the gods, that she was going to be his predecessor, because nobody in Belize wanted to take it on from him, because they're like, oh, you're an old relic. Even though he was curing people, he cured people of cancer and all kinds of things. But yet people were like, oh, this is an old wives' tale. And this is, you know, this doesn't really work. When if the Western medicine failed them, they would go to him to fix it. So anyway, he couldn't find anybody from his culture to pass this on to. So Rosita was willing to and showed her, you know, her commitment. So he said, I will teach you if you promise me these three things. If you, one, keep this very pure in its form that I teach you. Two, that you pass it on. And three, that you take care of my people. So she went to her husband and her children and asked or said, you know, what should I do? I mean, this means we stay here in Belize. And they're like, you got to do this. So she told him, I am committed and I will stay here and take care of your people and do exactly that. She kept it as pure as possible, and she added on her own knowledge of naturopathy, which is about joints and muscles. And she created the RVGO techniques of Maya Abdominal Therapy. But she is keeping her promise of keeping it as pure as possible passing it on. And I have the fortunate honor of being able to teach the Arvigo self-care classes. And I'm actually interning to be a professional teacher. So I get to pass this on and keep her promise going on and keep honoring the lineage and passing this on even to further. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Wow. Congratulations. That's an exciting honor. I love a little bit of history, those anecdotes, and it's so rich and in tradition. That totally adds a different element to this type of therapy that, you know, just thinking back about even some of the therapies I learned, like Chinese medicine, like, oh, it goes back so many years. Just the fact that you're able to connect so closely to the creators, that's really special.
Yeah. I was so fortunate that Rosita was still teaching directly. Like she was my self-care teacher, and she was also my professional teacher, and she actually evaluated me, and I was freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, here's the creator of this methodology, and she's going to be evaluating me. And I'm like, wait a minute. Oh my gosh, this is a huge, beautiful opportunity to learn from this woman directly, you know. Yes. And it was just like, it was such a beautiful experience, and something that was so beautiful. She wrote in my evaluation, she's like, you have that natural compassion and healing energy about you that you can't learn. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, yes. That's special.
Yeah. And I got to see her for the first time in like 9 years, just a couple of months ago at the advanced teachers meeting, their Vega meeting. And it was like, it was just very, very neat to be in her energy again. She's an amazing, amazing woman. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So to summarize, our Vigo therapy is a type of uterine massage that's done externally. So on top of the abdomen, helping with blood flow, lymphatics, and chi movement throughout the uterus. Would that be a good summary of what the therapy is?
Yeah, I hesitate to call it a uterine massage because people get real freaked out thinking that we're going to go inside and massage their uterus.
Okay.
Calling it an abdominal therapy. It also is very much a holistic form because we do work with the emotions, you know, and the spiritual and the mental and emotional kind of come, you know, together. But
can you walk me through what a treatment would look like? Like, how do you incorporate the emotions with the physicals in a treatment setting?
The Arvigo practitioners, because mind massage, there's lots of different mind massage practitioners, but the Arvigo practitioners, we start initial session with an intake form. And it's a pretty holistic intake form. We talk about what you eat, your emotions. We talk about, you know, fears, anxieties, anger, all the emotions that you might be feeling or not feeling. We talk about your history. Was there any abuse in your you know, family or severe conditioning? And so I have them on my table, and I have them, you know, with a castor oil pack on them. I'm going over their intake form, and they're lying on my table. They're all nice and comfy, and I hold space. I hold a nice safe space for them to just decompress, completely express themselves. And they go through this awareness process that, you know, through the intake form about what might be blocking them from being optimally healthy and fertile. And then we talk about it. And I think it's so crucial for women to express themselves. I think that a lot of us realize, like, once we can talk about it, we don't need anybody to solve it for us. We're like, all of a sudden we're like, oh my God, I just answered my own question. At least that's how I am. Very much, you know, about the emotional, just being a safe place for a woman to express their emotions, you know, and decompress and let go. And especially if they're doing any type of Western medicine. I just had a client on my table that was just like crazed from all the medicine, like the Lupron that she took. It's such about how your hormones can affect you, just your own hormones, but taking synthetic hormones, you know, we were talking about that before, just can completely whack you out. So a safe space for you to just completely decompress. I'm not a purist with the Arvigo. It's a holistic practitioner, but I do combined therapies, and I usually get having breathing and relaxing and visualizing and letting go of their head and all the chatter in their head so they can just decompress and let go and just receive. I do the abdominal therapy, which is from the pubic bone up, and it consists of a whole posterior or the whole back protocol, because depending how your hips are aligned may depend on where your uterus is aligned. So we also do those type of corrections as well. Abdominal therapy that, you know, relieves the congestion in the abdominal area, which can be emotional, it could be physical, it could be energetic.
Okay, now that you've shared what an Arvigo-Mayan therapy abdominal massage is, can you tell us a bit about how it may help regulate menstrual cycles, or how it relates to, it could relate to the menstrual cycle?
Well, thank you for asking that, because the Mayan culture actually believes that the woman's first brain is her uterus or her womb. So if her womb is not in the right position, then the woman is going to be off balance some way, somehow, mentally, emotionally, physically, or spiritually, and with her hormone cycles. 80 to 90% of women's uteruses are tipped. And just because they're tipped doesn't mean that they can be shifted out of that, because we can do the Maya abdominal therapy. Physiologically alone, when we are doing the massage, we're relieving the congestion, we're helping to reposition the uterus. So if you think about how she's positioned, if she's like antiflex, which means she's going forward and she's crimped onto herself, she can't, you know, have a nice menses. She's struggling trying to get the blood out, and there probably is some old coagulated blood in her uterus. And so it's not only she affecting her first brain, but physiologically there's hormone receptors in your uterus. And if they can't communicate correctly because of the old coagulated blood, then it's going to affect your hormones. And physiologically, if she's she, meaning your uterus, I call her she.
If she's, I love that.
I've actually named my uterus, and I have a blog from my uterus's perspective.
Cool. I'm so intrigued by what that is.
My uterus's name is Uta.
Uta, okay.
Uta, yes, the uterus. And she's got her whole blog. She's a cute uterus, so she's a cuterus.
You're hilarious. I love that.
You gotta laugh, you know? It's just like sometimes you just have to laugh. It's actually really good medicine.
The best medicine.
Yes. So anyway, so just physiologically, not only is, you know, if she's retroverted, she could be sitting up against the rectum, and so the toxic environment, because she's got all that, you know, fecal matter that's in your rectum that be making your uterus toxic, and then she could be sitting forward on your ovaries, your fallopian tube. So physiologically alone, this Mayan massage can help relieve all that congestion to reposition her so she's flowing correctly and communicating correctly to get the cycles back to homeostasis. Mm. Yeah, it's all about homeostasis, the balance within.
That's really interesting. So, you know, I'm what's coming to mind for me is, you know, the women who tell me that they get that brown blood right before their period, you know, I always describe as being old blood, but mm-hmm. there's potential that there could be more depending on how your uterus is positioned.
Oh yeah.
I hadn't thought about.
Yeah. So when we have the intake form, they ask, you know, do you have brown blood at the beginning of your period or at the end? And the beginning, from what I understand, is being that it's just old blood from the last period. And yep. if you have brown blood at the end, it means it's been from cycles way before that. So it can be several cycles that you have been hanging on to, and it's just been sitting there. And so something that I always tell my clients to expect after one of our sessions is that they might see even more stuff coming out.
Right.
Like gunky stuff that's been sitting in there. And as my teacher also says, better an empty house than a bad tenant.
Right. Yes.
So we're getting rid of the bad tenant.
Getting it all, getting rid of the bad tenant and making it a more hospital environment for whatever we're opening ourselves to receive in the uterus.
Absolutely. And also when we're talking about, you know, the holistic part of it, we can store emotions in there. And so a lot of my clients, I forewarn them too. I'm like, you might be even a little more emotional because we're stirring stuff up and we're going to let go of things. And So I, like I said, hold space for my clients when they are going through a traumatic, you know, experience of letting go of something in the past, like abuse situations. You know, I was molested as a child, and so I released so much of that negative energy and that the emotions from my abdominal reproductive organs. So it's such a powerful, powerful modality. And the practitioner, you know, gets to hold space for all of that. I've had women bawling on my table, you know, because they, like, I've never told anybody this experience before. And I just released all of that, you know, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So it's incredibly powerful work. And as you know, emotional state can affect your cycles. You know, if you're really stressed out, you know, physiologically, your adrenals are completely tapped out. You're not getting enough blood flow to your reproductive organs or your abdominal area because it's all going to support your adrenals. So, yeah.
No, I'm so fascinated by this because, you know, it's definitely well talked about how our cells hold emotions. And then when we work to move those cells or make them more efficient at what they're responsible for, we do release some emotions and we need to know how to cope with those emotions and or what to do with them, how to process them or how to release them, how to let go of them. So I think you answered really well my first question that I asked you about how a physical therapy and the emotions, how they all play together. And I can really see it's not so much what you're doing, it's in what's unfolding between the patient and yourself as a practitioner. And that's really special.
Yes.
All right. Well, that was really great information about how our vego therapy affects the menstrual cycle. I think that's so fascinating. Can you tell me a bit about specific conditions maybe that this type of therapy works best on when we're talking about reproductive health and fertility? I know in your description earlier, you said that, you know, the original ancestors of this technique were using it for anything that Western medicine couldn't treat. And I think that's really interesting. So yeah, if you could share some anecdotes with us or common types of conditions within the reproductive and fertility world where our vego therapy could be effective.
Thank you for asking that because I honestly believe that every woman should receive the Arvigo techniques of my abdominal therapy. Every woman that has a uterus, actually, you know what? Not even every woman that has a uterus, but we're talking about fertility world. So just briefly, I had a fellow practitioner in the self-care class, and she had a hysterectomy at the age of 23. I have to share the story because it's just amazing.
Please do.
Because it doesn't matter if you have a uterus. You have a spirit of your uterus. She had a hysterectomy at age 23, and she had luckily had a child beforehand, but then she was asking Rosita, she's like, how is this self-care, how is this, you know, Arvigo technique going to help me? She's like, I don't have a uterus anymore. She's like, Rosita's like, you have the spirit of your uterus is still within you and you can still connect with that. And we went through our 2.5-day self-care class and it was such a beautiful class and such an eye-opening experience for me, like knowing where my uterus is and how important my uterus is and where it's supposed to be positioned. I'm like, why don't they teach us in grade school? You know, I was so blown away by it. But what I was even more blown away by, but just, you know, doing the self-care massage and connecting the mind, body, spirit, and emotions. This woman who had the hysterectomy, she was a little more, you know, masculine. By the end of the 2.5 days, she was singing and wearing this white dance and with this white dress and just dancing and flowing. She was fully in her feminine. It was the most beautiful transformation I have ever seen in the 2.5 days. And that's why I love creating that same experience for my students with my self-care class. And it's because it's such an amazing experience to be able to reconnect with ourselves and our uterus. So back to your question about should every woman receive? Yes, because especially if in your reproductive, having any reproductive issues, you know, painful menses, which we all know is more of a sign that something is going on. You know, they could have something more serious like endometriosis or adenomyosis. Like I was saying before, 80-90% of women's uterus are tipped, and it could be the one reason why they're having fertility issues. And unexplained fertility issues, because on paper they're, it looks like they're, all their numbers are correct by their doctors, all their, you know, their FSH is okay, their TSH is okay, and everything else is okay. But if your uterus, they're like, oh, your uterus is tip, it's not a big deal, it's normal. But they also think that having a painful period is normal. So we don't believe that. No. So being able to release the negative emotions and the energetic, all the holistic stuff, so that she, the woman can have a healthy period, and so the woman can be more optimally fertile through holistic healing. So not only if people have severe conditions, but if they have, you know, they think, oh, I have a light period, I don't have any, well, pain or anything, and I'm regular, but they barely have a period. I mean, I ask them to qualify what their period is like, and they're like, oh, I have one tampon a day. And I'm like, that is great that you don't have any pain and that you are regular. And at the same time, we want a more hearty, you know, period. We want something that's, you know, 3 to 5 days, you know, and a nice medium amount of blood. And so they can have a healthier cycle. So we are also regulating their hormones. So it can affect all women in all phases of their reproductive health and well-being, and especially when they're going through fertility issues.
Does the therapy help to lengthen periods that are quite short or maybe deficient, like not substantial in terms of flow?
Yes, it can help with that. And we also work with herbs, things like female tonic to help balance the hormones. And I had this one client who barely had a period, and she was like, and didn't really even know her period, which I was like, you need to know your period, and you need to know when you ovulate. And these are things I'm like, you know, in my practice, in my fertility program, it's like, you know, the awareness and having awareness of your cycle and when you have your period and the quality of your period. Says a lot, and, you know, can give you a lot of information. But I gave her some female tonic, and within 2 cycles she was pregnant, you know. So it's just, so we don't just do, like I said, the massage. We work with herbology as well. But I'm one of those practitioners, it's like I work in conjunction with a lot of different practitioners and NDs and acupuncturists, so I will defer those type of things to them unless they're not on anything else, because you obviously have to work with contraindications. So we don't always recommend herbology. It has to be in a mindful way.
My next question, I think you answered already, and that's, which fertility patients are the best candidates for RVGO therapy? And you will reiterate, you said, hey, you think every single woman, not just fertility woman, could benefit from an RVGO Mayan massage therapy.
Yes, indeed. I strongly, strongly recommend, you know, people finding a practitioner, or with my fertility program, I'm so excited that I get to honor the lineage. I asked the Arvigo Institute if I can include this in my fertility program, and it's an online hybrid program, so I can teach my clients how to do their own self-care, Arvigo self-care massage. So I get the privilege of being able to do that in a very respectful and honorable way. So it's part of my whole GenTouch holistic fertility program, but it is an important piece of it, definitely.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. Is I know you do work remotely, and I know you are working on some really awesome stuff in the fertility world and with your program. But what does it look like to learn this type of therapy? Is it easy to grasp? Does it take time? Does it take practice? How would you, like, maybe women who are not sure if it's something that they can do, what would you say to them?
Oh, no, they're very easy.
Okay.
It's very, very, very simple, very easy, very powerful, and Great. Very important, because I also believe in, like I said, connecting the mind, body, and spirit and emotions. And a lot of us are very disconnected from our reproductive organs and even touching themselves. You know, there's can be some body issues and just like it's always like they feel awkward at first, you know, like they don't know how to hold their hands. And so I tell them, you know, hand positions. And then, like I said, I have a video that shows them, you know, how to do it so they can. Yeah. And every single RVGO practitioner Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say should, but we are taught to teach a self-care massage to each and every client that they see. Oh. Not everybody does it, but everybody is taught to do that. Because honestly, as you know, as a practitioner, you can give all the suggestions in the world to a patient or a client, and we can do amazing things in sessions and even online. But if they're not doing their own home play and their own home self-love and self-care,
yeah,
it doesn't work as well. It can work, but it's so, self-care and self-love is so critically important, especially when you're trying to get pregnant. I teach people, I empower people, you know, how to, you know, connect to their mind, body, spirit, and emotions, and how to take care of themselves in the best way possible, and how to get of their own way, you know, with NLP and hypnotherapy and breathing and visualization. So self-care is very important in this process. And self-care doesn't mean just the massage. It means, you know, like I said, eating well and breathing and drinking lots of water and snuggling with your partner and, you know, just all kinds of yummy stuff that self-care involved in.
I love that you use the word empowered, because that was coming to my mind. It's like teaching women how to do these self-care techniques and how to do these self-love massages, this is what I'm going to call them, even though I know that that's not what they're called, is creates empowerment. Like, it allows them to take some of the accountability, to feel part of their healing journey, instead of feeling like they're being done to in their
journey. Yes. I've always been that way. I mean, as a holistic health practitioner and now a holistic fertility empowerment expert, I always want to say, I'm not here to fix you. I can't fix you, no. But I can teach you a whole lot of stuff. And I go through, like I said, with my program, start with, you know, insight. And we as women are incredibly intuitive. We really do have all our answers if we could just quiet our mind. Shh.
So true.
We have this innate ability to be heal and to be healthy, but we just don't allow it to happen. We're just going, doing. We're so busy. And like, so I go through this whole process and I start off with, you know, just like quieting that mind, you know, and I call it in my insight module, it's like the triple L method, where you can list, let go, and listen. And it's all about tapping into your intuition and empowering them to, you know, listen to their own inner wisdom. But you have to list out all the crap that's going on in your head.
Yeah, get it out.
Get it out. Yeah. And then let go. Like, I just say you can do something as simple as like crumpling it up and throwing it away or burning it, because it's a physical act of getting rid of it. And yes. Then breathe and listen, and then your intuition, it's spot on. It's so spot on. If you really allow yourself to get out of your own way and listen deep within. And I also have a relaxation meditation tapes and visualization. I actually have a chakra balancing relaxation on YouTube, as well as it's a brief fertility YouTube video about just relaxing and quieting that mind. And I go through all the different, go from head to toe to relax, so you can let go of all those thoughts, breathe, let go, and then you can listen to your own intuition and your own body and that deep womb listening. Actually, you know, your womb has lots of wisdom.
Wisdom from the womb. I love that.
I have Womb Wisdom Wednesdays on Instagram that I post little things.
I love it. And I'm sure you'll get people following that, because it's fantastic. So my next question is your top three tips that you would offer women and couples of what they should do trying to conceive. And I ask this question very generally, because I understand couples are on various stages of the journey at various points. What are your, you know, three general tips that maybe can help couples no matter where they are on their fertility journey?
Yes. Yeah. And thank you for like stating that, because people are on different, you know, stages of their journey, and to first know that they're not alone. that one in five couples trying to get pregnant are struggling to conceive. But tips, as far as tips, that's just more of an awareness. And then tips number one is say no to Dr. Google. Because you can drive yourself crazy. I mean, it's good, great to be educated, and there's a lot of good information, but there's a lot of conflicting information. So if you can minimize your time on Dr. Google and not go down that rabbit hole, it would be great. So maybe set a timer. It's like, I'm going to do research for 10 minutes a day. And then once the buzzer goes off, I'm going to let it go. Because that can really keep you stressed and probably go crazy because people are like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. So let that go. And then the other one, second one, is the list, let go and listen. So they could, if they could just start jotting down those mental monsters, you know, and write it down so they can let them go. I would highly recommend that. And then whatever method that they try, holistic, you know, health method or alternative method that they try, to do it for at least 3 months. Because what you do now affects your egg quality and your health and well-being 3 months from now, 3 to 6 months from now. So I know everybody wants to be pregnant yesterday, but doing something, at least stick with it for at least 3 months, because then you can see changes in your cycle, and in what you, like I said, what you do now affects your egg quality and a man's sperm quality if, you know, he is having sperm issues. And just another awareness that when a couple is having issues, it's important to get checked and to have the husband get checked, because 40% of the reason why women and couples are having issues is because of male factor. So they have their motility, which is their speed of their sperm and their count, how much, and the morphology is a huge thing, like the quality of the sperm. And only 4 to 7% are the super sperm that actually can, you know, get through the, as we call, the acidic swamp of the vagina.
Yes.
Which we need to have a good acidic, you know, vagina when we're not trying to get pregnant, because it kills off bacteria. But when we are during our fertile time, we are very supposed to be more alkaline. And so these four little spermies can actually be killed, you know, in an acidic vaginal secretion. So getting your man checked as well, besides you doing your testing.
Important part, like, you know, 40%, that's significant when it comes to the female, the fertility world. And actually, I heard an interesting, the guest that I interviewed last week, Dr. Alyssa Shepherd, she does a lot of work in pregnancy. She was giving me a bit of a reframe around when egg and sperm meet, and how traditionally we hear about it as sperm drilling, you know, it's about the sperm drilling into the egg, and it's all about, it's a very competitive, it's an aggressive approach when you think about it. And she's like, what if we thought about it this way? And what if all of the sperm, you know, the good and the bad, or like the super sperm, the less ideal, whatever it is, all the sperm, if they're all creating a path so that they're, for example, like making, you know, pushing the other sperm out of the way and making it more of an optimal pathway. And then that one sperm that's going to get through, it's the egg that receives that one sperm.
And well, yes.
When she described that, I was like, oh, it's so much more collaborative and inviting. Reminds us that, yes, there's lots of different sperms in a sperm sample. And it isn't necessarily that we need to get rid of the bad ones, because they serve a purpose in supporting the most optimal sperm for getting to the egg.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I actually, in my self-care class, I go through this whole thing. Actually, one of my fellow practitioners created this sperm tail, and we just goes on this journey, and they get the clotting bunch to help them. They get nourished, and they go through the vas deferens, and they go through the, you know, all the whole journey, and they're getting nourished with zinc and magnesium, and, you know, the prostate, you know, puts more alkalinity in it, and it's all this whole process that they have to go through, but it's all part of it. I mean, that's why they create millions and millions of sperm to help support that one guy that is like gets the honor of meeting with an egg. And that's why too, I also like when you're talking about receiving, that's a feminine energy. You know, it's like it's about receiving, and males about action and doing. Why a woman needs to be relaxed and open and receptive to pulling in that beautiful energy and pulling in that sperm and pulling in, you know, having that connection, you know, the yin and the yang, you know. And so I have clients who are very much in a masculine profession. They're either like, I had this woman who was a prison warden and I'm like, okay, so you're very much in your masculine at work. So when you go home, you need to allow yourself to be completely in your feminine and whatever that means for you. And like we're talking about definitions, different women have different ideas of what feminine means. Like one woman, she was like, oh, you know, I allow myself to be ditzy and my husband to, you know, help me like a damsel in distress. I'm like, yeah, that's not my definition of being feminine, but whatever things, you know. But I was talking about, you know, like being open and receptive and a little bit more soft and like, let him be the man in the bedroom, you know, don't initiate, let him initiate and be receptive and flowing and soft and let him be the man. You don't have that, you know. It's fertility is such a primal instinct, you know. Women, if unless you've been through fertility, you really don't understand what it's like to, you know, struggle, because I've went through it and it's like it's this primal urge. And for a man, it's this primal urge to hunt and gather and reproduce, you know. It's a very primal energy, you know, with the whole reproduction and wanting to keep their legacy going, you know. It's a very primal instinct for men and women.
Right.
So,
yeah. It makes it so challenging, right? Because you hear it's primal, it should just happen. And then when it doesn't happen for couples, it could be very discouraging. So that actually rolls into my next question, which is about mindset, because you have mentioned how important it is to work through the mindset, how important it is to work on self-care. Are there specific exercises that you do with the couples that you work with that can help them transform their fertility mindset?
Absolutely. I have actually created NLP for fertility, because NLP, I don't know if you know what that is, it's neuro-linguistics programming. So we, from in utero, our subconscious mind records everything, every action, every experience, every thought, everything from day one. And so a lot of times my teacher says that we are basically running on old tapes. So what we are experiencing now is something that happened in the past, but we're just being triggered type of thing. So I not only do NLP for fertility, but I do breathing and visualization, so you can get out of your head, get rid of those, so you can mitigate those mental monsters. I have lots of different exercises to get rid of those things that are in your head so you can have more positive thoughts. I have different ways of, yeah, I have lots of different yummy juicy stuff.
Goodies.
Yeah. Yes, goodies that I have in my program that I do with my clients, because different people learn different ways of, you know, some people are like, I can't just listen to a bunch of positive affirmations, you know, it's like, it doesn't work for me. And right. I'm a very visual person, so I can see a lot of things, but not everybody can see things. So like just a simple thing that I do mind-wise, like if somebody is having a lot of negative thoughts, they can just visualize a stop sign. Just stop. And then there's also, if they have an issue with sugar, like a lot of people have sugar addictions, which can affect their fertility, they can visualize, like, do you have a like favorite sweet, or do you have a sweet thing going on?
I love chocolate.
If you want to get rid of something that you are like craving and are addicted to, you would visualize it in your head. Let's say it's a big chocolate piece of cake, and then figure out where it is in your line of sight, and then bring it closer and bigger in your mind's eye. And if that makes you feel like you want it less, then leave it there. It's a simple trick that you can do. And then people are like, oh my God, I didn't feel like I wanted it anymore because you literally made it undesirable because you made it big and in your face, or you can like put it out in the distance, you know? So there's a lot of little mind games you can do.
Interesting.
And so then we also get to, you know, reframe the way we think. So rather than saying, I have to do my self-care, I'm like, I get to do my self-care. You know? Right. So it's just, you know, reframing the way we speak and talk. And part of the mindset too is to be able to express, because we all have negative thoughts and whatnot. So let's get it out, express it, either write it down or express it verbally. And then we can start reframing that. And, or we can do, an NLP hypnotherapy session where we can just clear out that gunk. Mm-hmm. It's a nice efficient way.
I am a big fan of NLP. I actually interviewed one of the NLP practitioners that I've worked with. I learned so much about limiting beliefs and the thought patterns and the stories and those tapes. Like yourself, I would say that I'm a pretty strong visualizer, and I was able to go back generations in my family history to just this moment that you know, it scared me a little bit when I came out of it. Cause I was like, wow, did that really happen? Like, it was almost like, no, the experience was that I was in the middle of a center village of a really small town, and everybody was staring at me and throwing things at me, and it was just so intense. And I learned so much from that moment, and it really drew connections to what I was feeling, and it was so powerful. So I'm a big fan of NLP. NLP is so cool and so fascinating. The brain is fascinating, let alone
NLP. Thoughts are just so powerful, you know, and we can manifest, you know, good things, and we can manifest bad things. So if you're thinking all the times, I can't get pregnant, or just that whole thought, we're told all our lives, don't get pregnant. Yeah. And as soon as you start trying, you're like, I can't get pregnant. It's like, well, you've been telling yourself not you, but society, your parents, religion have been telling you all your life, don't get pregnant till you get married. And now that you're married and, you know, you're having a great relationship, you know, and your body's like, no, you told me not to get pregnant. So we can manifest so many positive things in our body, but we can also manifest a lot of the, you know, not so good things too.
Yeah.
So mindset is huge
piece. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much for answering my questions. This was great. I learned so much, and I'm sure our listeners are also going to learn a ton about you and what you do. And I love how you truly are holistic. You incorporate every aspect of fertility. And it's fantastic, because I don't think you can treat fertility without looking at all the different aspects.
Yes, I truly agree. Yes.
So for our listeners who want to connect with you, or if they're interested in working together, where would you say they can go? Where would you direct them to find out some more?
I have a new website, www.gentouchholisticfertility.com. Or they can contact me at jen@gentouchmassage.com. And that's okay. Jen with a G. And then I have a Facebook page as well, Gen Touch Holistic Fertility Facebook page. And then I'm on Instagram, just as GenevieveT.Siegel.
Okay. Well, I will link all of those in the show notes, so for easy access for listeners. All right. Well, thank you so much, Genevieve, for your time today and for this interview and for all your helpful tidbits. It was a lot of fun, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Antoinette. Thank you for making me feel so comfortable. This is a great experience.
Thank you for listening to the Hormone Heartbeat podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe so you can be notified of all future episodes. And don't forget to check out the show notes for all guest details and your free downloadable goodies. Your feedback is important to me, so please, please leave a review so women can find and be empowered by this knowledge. If you have a topic you'd like to see discussed on the show, or have a recommendation for guests you'd like to see interviewed, please get in touch by emailing
thehormoneheartbeatpodcast@gmail.com.